Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and give you praise and glory this morning. Can I get somebody to say amen?
Amen.
Lord, you are good. Amen. And you've already spoken to us that you are going to bless us. We need to keep an open heart this morning and teach us, O Lord, to open our hearts unto you and feed us with the bread of heaven. In Jesus' mighty name. And as always, let your name be glorified. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. I did send out some notices during the week asking and encouraging people to try to be here for this series. Very, very important that we are starting here by the grace of God today. I want to give us a quick introduction. We're going to be doing the gifts and the calling of God. Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to be going into it. It's going to be a series. It's going to be a while. And we're going to stay with it until we see the Holy Ghost fire upon this church. Amen.
Amen.
And everybody's fired up. Hallelujah. Now, today I'm going to give an introduction. And if you're taking notes, it's going to be very important. I have been seeking the Lord for a long time. I have been thinking about it, been doing some research, praying, and doing whatever. And we have been talking about revival for years. We've been talking about, we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, revival, and all these things. And I said, well, Lord, I don't want to just talk about it. But I really want to, want the Lord to visit us. Amen? Amen, folks? Now, here's what we're going to be doing. I will not be preaching, my usual style of shouting and getting excited and so on. I might do that, if the Lord moves upon me. But I want to take it easy and teach this thing and bring it out so that we all understand. It's very, very important. But let me start here by reading Romans. I want everybody to have their Bible out because we're doing a teaching now. So this is not just preaching. Have your Bible out. When I call the scripture, open it and see it. Because that's the way to do it. If they have it out on the screen, that's fine. But even if it's not, it's better for you to look at it in your Bible because you can mark it down. The screen will be gone after service. You won't have the screen with you. The Bible you will have with you. So I'm going to start here in Romans chapter 11 and verse 29. It says what? The gifts. Do you have your Bible with you? Anybody? Read it to me. For the gifts and calling of God are what? Are without repentance. Now, I'm studying and teaching from King James Version. That's our official version here in this church. Now, you may read whatever version you have on your own, but that's fine. But when we preach, we use the King James. And what you're going to see on the screen will also be King James. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, keep that in mind. So, we'll be talking about the gifts of God. We'll be talking about the calling of God. In this series, we're going to learn about the gifts of God. We're going to learn how to discover the gifts of God in our lives. We're going to learn how to discover the calling of God in our lives. We're going to learn how, using your gifts now, the gifts that you have now. Remember, the message of God requires fruitfulness. That's what leading on into this. Now, using what you have now, we're going to learn how using what you have now can actually move you into God's destiny. We're going to learn about that. And then we're going to learn about the operations of the gifts of the Spirit and the manifestations. Now, let me say something right away that knowledge is very important. And so we will share some teaching and some knowledge. But this series is going way beyond knowledge. That's why I invite everybody to come on Friday if you can. Now, I want to tell you something about the Friday, this week's Friday service. It's called our Faith Lab. When God gave us that service once a month on our consecration weekend, at the beginning, he gave us the name also to call the Faith Lab. And the intention was that, we would be able to come together and see the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. That's why he called it the lab. It's something, those of you, the young children who are doing sciences, after you do your physics and your chemistry and your biology or whatever, sometimes you go into the lab and you have to take a lab class with every class that you take from one of those sciences. And what do you do in those lab classes? You actually get some hands-on practice of some things. Okay, so now, the things of God are not any different. Knowledge is very important. You know, however, the practical side is what we're going to be dealing about. I'm going to bring some knowledge because everything we do has to be based on the scriptures. So we're going to use scriptures to bring knowledge. But the practical side is very much more important. Let me tell you, give you some examples. Just about every kid here has learned or will learn how to ride a bike. Anybody learned how to ride a bike? Let me see, young people. Have you learned how to ride? I know some of you are now driving, but did you learn how to ride the bike? Anybody learn how to ride a bike? Good. What about some of the older people here? Did you learn how to ride a bike when you were young?
Yes.
All right. Can you still ride a bike?
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. They always say it's like riding a bike. I don't know why they say that. You learn it and you never forget. You know, I can still ride a bike. In fact, I can do a few tricks, you know, on the bike. Now, but I want to tell you something. When you wanted to learn the bike, I mean, let's say I know I taught my kids how to ride a bike, you know. I mean, I could say to my son, hey, Daddy, you know, it's time for you to ride a bike. Here's what you do, you know. And when we're, you know, I could be in the living room and tell him and give him this wonderful lecture of how to ride a bike. Well, you know, the bike has two handles. It's got some brakes. And if you have a sports bike, it has the gear. It has this. You can do this. You can do that. And I can say all of that. That's all wonderful. But until he actually gets on the bike.
Yes, sir.
Hello, folks.
Yes, sir.
Until he actually gets on the bike and do this thing. And, you know, I remember, you know, when he was riding the bike, you know, I would hold him in the back and he would be in the park and he'd fall down a few times. And then I'd pretend like I was holding him. And then I'd let it go, and he would think I was still holding him, and then he'd go. Praise the Lord. You know, so, and I fall down a few times. Now, when you fall down, when you're riding the bike a few times, and you say, well, maybe the first time you fell down, you say, well, I can't, I fell down, I'm not going to do it again. You will never learn how to ride a bike. Hello, folks. Everybody who rode the bike, who learned how to ride a bike, fell down a few times, and they got a few bruises too. A few bruises. Now, I know some people may have stopped because they fell down, and today they probably still don't know how to ride a bike. It's the same with everything. And those, some of you kids who are older now, and some of the older kids who are here, when you started to learn how to drive, it's the same thing. When your teenager goes to get their learner's permit when they are 15 years and 7 months or whatever, you know, you can tell them all the beautiful things. And I used to do it for my kids. I used to tell them the safety rules. I would say safety is the most important thing. You know, where is the blind spot? Where is this? What are the safety equipment in the car? You know, and so on and so forth. And they'll mention a few and say, no, you forgot this and you forgot that, you forgot that. You know, but until you do all of that, then my wife would take them out, you know, to drive or somebody and so on. You know, but, you know, you could do all that wonderful learning of the knowledge, but until you get behind the wheels, amen, you're not going to learn anything. You know, and when you start learning how to drive, you're going to have a few bumps and a few scratches. Hello? If because of the few bumps and the few scratches you stop driving, then you won't be driving now. Amen? Well, you may have a few scratches, a few bumper fenders, or well, I don't know what they call it, you know. But you keep going. Now, I could give you many, many, many more examples. There are some people in life who, when they meet some discouragement, they give up. Well, they never get very far. Hello, folks? If you give up when you make something, you will never get very far because you are always going to have discouragement in everything you do. It's actually Satan's number one, A12, is discouragement. Don't try to discourage you. So, let's bring it to the things of God. It's the same way, whatever it is, and so forth. People, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm jumping ahead now because this is really an introduction, so I just cover a lot of spectrum. You know, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, you know, some people are timid, some people are afraid, and so on and so forth. You know, I say, well, you know, if I make a mistake, everybody's going to look at me or whatever, or if I do this and so on. You know, well, enough said about if you don't, you're never going to, you know, become well versed in anything that you don't practice. Amen? Practice makes what? That's right. So you're going to have to, some people say, well, you know, I've heard this theology thing that, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, you don't learn it, it just comes, boom. Well, that may be true, but you practice the operation. And I'm going to be explaining how that works. And it's not very far-fetched because, you know, people think it's far-fetched. It's not at all. You know, so we're going to take that easy and we're going to learn. Now, there are many scriptures that we're going to be reading as a foundation. You know, the foundation. We're going to be reading, there are some things I'm going to read from Romans chapter 12. And there are some things I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14. You know, and there are many scriptures here and there that we're going to go through to give us a background. And we are also going to call on some anecdotal experiences that we've had. Now, let me tell you something about the book of Acts. Anybody here has read the book of Acts or some part of it? Let me see your hand up. You've read something in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, you know, in fact, Luke, who's the writer, started out saying, look, you know, there are some things that I've written before and I'm going to write you these other things. So he began to write. You know, these were things that happened. There are some cases that are actually teachings there when some of the apostles will stand up and recount some things and quote some things from the Psalms or from the prophets and whatever, you know, and so forth. So we see that were some teachings. But most of it was just, they were just recording what happened, you know. But by us going back to see what happened, how God did things in the book of Acts, we can learn a lot. So, remember that this series is the gifts and calling of God. And right away, many people are thinking we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts. And you're correct. But I'm not only going to be talking about that. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm going to spend some time talking about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, because he's a little talked about, you know. So we'll talk about that. Of course, we'll spend some time talking about Jesus too. Amen. Now, let me say it to you this way, and I will give you some scriptures to back it up. Listen to this and write this down. The gift of God to the world and the sinner is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, folks.
Amen.
We preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Turn with me in your Bible. What does it say? 6 and 23, Romans. For the wages of sin is what? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the book of Genesis 3 verse 15, God promised the seed of the woman. And we see that in John chapter 3 and verse 16, the New Testament reflects that Jesus is going to fulfill that. And what does it say in John 3:16? I'm sure some of the young people here can quote that. John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave. Now, let's stop right there. Gave is to give a gift. So, now, who did God... What was the reason why God gave? God so loved the world. Now, that's sinners. How do I know it's sinners? I'll give you another verse in a minute. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not do what? Should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, somebody tell me what Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says. What does Romans 5, 8 say? Quickly, if you have your Bible. Romans 8, 5 and 8. God commanded his love unto us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, in the book of John chapter 1 and verse 12, what does it say? The Gospel of John chapter 1 and 12. For as many as received him, I was talking about, you know, Christ, he made the world, they rejected him, he came to his own, they rejected him, and so on. But as many as received him, what did he do? To them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Now, that power comes through receiving Christ. Hallelujah. So, Jesus Christ is the gift of God to the world and to sinners. Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost is the gift of God to the believer. Now write that down. Jesus Christ, as Jesus is the gift of God to the world, so is the Holy Ghost the gift of God to the believer. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost is not given to unbelievers. If you are not saved or converted, you cannot receive what we call today baptism with the Holy Spirit. It's not for unbelievers. It's for believers. And we are going to show anecdotally from the scriptures all the times that people in the scriptures received the Holy Ghost. We're going to see that it was preceded by conversion or receiving the word of God into their lives. It could be happen on the same day, but they're two separate things. Now, like I said, it's an introduction. I'm going to get into the details in all of these things later on. The only person that can give us the Holy Spirit, today we call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I will get into that later why we call it that. The only person that can give us the baptism of the Holy Spirit is who? Is who? We're not sure. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I am going to prove it to you in the scriptures, but before I do, I want to show you how important it is. The Gospels of John, Luke, Mark, and Matthew, I said it backwards, there's a reason. But those four Gospels, they describe many things, many attributes about Jesus and his ministry while he was here, and then they say some things about him. There are some reports about Christ that you may find in multiple Gospels. In some cases, some things that they reported might be reported, you know, slightly differently. Or maybe one or two persons talk about it and not all four of them. For instance, the phrase that calls Jesus the Lamb of God. Does anybody know where that's in the Bible? The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. You put in your hand? Where is it? What did he say? Well, okay. I'm not sure if that's where it is, but, you know, in the Gospels, the Lamb of God. I'm talking about the Gospel now. You know, I know it's in many places, but in the Gospel, among the Gospels, only John really refers to him with that phrase. You know. But, here's the thing. We're going to get into all these scriptures later on. There's just something important I want to bring up. You know, when John referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God, well, Luke didn't exactly call him that. Neither did Mark call him that. Neither did Matthew call him that. They called him various things and so forth. But we know that he's the Lamb of God. Amen? How many people know that Jesus is the Lamb of God? That's right. But there is something that is so important about this Jesus that is recorded by all four Gospels. Now, we know how important the role of Jesus as the Lamb of God is. But that phrase is used only by John. But that Jesus is the one that baptizes us with the Holy Ghost. And sometimes he says with fire. Is recorded in all four Gospels. Let's take a look. Let's start at Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Real quick. Quickly, let's put those scriptures up. And turn in your Bibles. Matthew 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But there is one that cometh after me who is mightier than I. Hallelujah. This is John the Baptist speaking. Whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with what? He shall baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and with fire. Who was he talking about? He was talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is who he was talking about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Mark chapter 1 verse 8 quickly. Mark chapter 8. Let's put up those scriptures real quick. Mark 1 8. Now this is Mark reporting the same thing. I indeed baptize you with what? Water. But he shall baptize you with what? With the Holy Ghost. So we see it's being recorded in just about every place. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 3 verse 16. Quickly. Luke 3 verse 16. Don't fall asleep on me. And John answered and said, what does he say? I think it's a little too little. Let me turn over here. John answered saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water. Help me read it. It's on the board. I indeed baptize you with water. So we see that's the third occurrence in the third gospel. And now in the book of John, let's see also where it is written. If I can have John chapter 1 up verse 33. Let's see what it says real quick. So this is John's testimony. He was saying how he knew that Jesus would be the one, you know, the one that he was a forerunner to. He said, well, I didn't know him, but the one that spoke to me told me that the person on whom you will see the dove falling and so on, he'll be the one. And he says, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, he the same is the one that baptized with the Holy Ghost. Hello? By the mouth of two or three witnesses, let what? Let every truth be established. Now we have all four gospels. Yes, sir. All four of them. Telling us that Jesus is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Yes. That is how important it is. Across all four gospels. Now, so, nobody can baptize with the Holy Ghost, folks. Amen? Yes. We're going to see examples in the Bible where, through laying on of hands, the Holy Ghost fell. But, you know, it's still Jesus that sent the Holy Ghost. So we'll see that. Okay, so I wanted to straighten that out. Now, what have we talked about so far? It is very critical that you should remember that we said that the gift of God to the world is Jesus Christ. The gift that Jesus gives to the believer is the Holy Ghost. Now, you say, well, does that mean that the unbeliever cannot receive the Holy Ghost? Well, not the Holy Ghost baptism, the way we call it in the New Testament. You know, there must be a conversion. Or the receiving of the word of God. There must be something in the heart for the Holy Ghost can come. Now, I'm assuming that most people present here today have experience of salvation. But if you don't, you know, we'll have a chance to cover that as well. I want to also let you know that there's another role that only Jesus can perform. Amen. Put up for me, if you would, Acts chapter 4. And let me just quickly read a couple of verses there. Verses 11 and 12. Acts chapter 4 verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is now become the head of the corner. Verse 12. Can you put it up quickly, please? Let's move. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Amen. For there is none other name given under heaven among men. There is no other name. Oh. Hallelujah. Whereby we must be saved. There's only one name, and that name is Jesus Christ. That is the name through which God gives salvation. He doesn't even give salvation through the name of Jehovah. Mm-mm. Hallelujah. He gives salvation through the name of Jesus Christ. And thou shalt call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus Christ is Yeshua, Jehovah, our salvation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can understand it. It's all Jehovah wrapped up in one. Presented is a package. He gave it to us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right. That's the only way we can be saved. Now, but he is also the one that gives the Holy Ghost as witness in all these four Gospels. Now, sometimes because of his ministry here on earth and his humility, when he was here, he deferred to the Father. And he would call himself Son of Man. That's what he referred to himself most of the time as. You know, but when he starts to say certain things like Son of Man, there's this, and my Father, this and that, they start accusing him, you are a man, you are making yourself equal to God. Why? Because you call him, say, because I call myself Son of God, you know, this and that. So, but we want to see that Jesus called this Holy Spirit the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. There was one thing that Jesus, among many other things, which we already know, salvation and stuff, to bring to us eternal life, but there was something that he came to repair. Of course, we know he came to repair, you know, the fact that we were lost forever. He came to bring us back to God. We know that. But he also came to repair that broken relationship so that we can now be calling God our Father again. Amen. So he always used to teach them, your heavenly Father, your heavenly Father, your heavenly, because, you know, they were not used to calling God their Father. It was like God. I mean, it's like God. How can he be your Father? So Jesus was always trying to tell them, he is your heavenly Father. And when he teaches them about forgiveness, he will say, look, if you don't forgive your brother, neither will your heavenly Father. He always put your heavenly Father there to try to get that relationship going. And so most of the time we say, look, the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. Now, I'm covering a lot of things in this first introduction, but I want to make it quick because we're going to get into something very interesting. It is important for us to know what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. And I want you to pay attention. There are many scriptures where Jesus began to introduce the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples. And we're going to look at some of them, maybe even all of them if I have the time, and see what he said that they should expect. So let's start with John, and please put up the scriptures quickly. Open your Bibles too. Let's start with John chapter 14 and verse 26. John 14 and verse 26. What is it? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall do what? Come on, church. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So let's begin to see the role of the Holy Spirit that is promised. These are the things that Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do when he comes. He shall teach you all things, and he shall bring all things to your remembrance. Let's look at John 15, again, verse 26. John 15, verse 26. Can you put it up quickly? John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, now, notice, go back to John 14, 26 for a minute. John 14, 26 for a minute. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Take notice of that, because some people say there's contradiction in the Bible. Whom the Father will send in my name. Then let's jump one chapter over, John 15, 26. Now in this place, he said, the Father will send in my name. But in John 15, 26, what does he say? When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah! If you understand who he is, you will know that there is no contradiction whatsoever. You know, now we'll get into that later. Whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall do what? He shall testify of me. So far we have learned of three things that he will do. What was the first thing in the previous chapter? He shall teach you all things, and he shall do what? Bring all things to your remembrance that I've told you before. This is the role of the Holy Ghost. You see? And in this one, he says what? He shall testify of me. You see, that's what the Holy Ghost does. Testify of me. That's right. Even the spirit of prophecy is what? The testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:10. We'll get to that later on. Now, let's jump to the next chapter. John spoke a lot of things, by the way, about this. You'll see that I'm reading all of it from John. In the next chapter, John chapter 16, let's look at verse 13 and see what he says. John 16:13. Can you put that up, please? Okay. How be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Amen? So he's talking about the Holy Ghost. He shall do what? Guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he shall do what? I love this part. He shall do what? He shall show you things to come. It's what the Holy Ghost does. So, now let's recount. He will do what? He will teach you all things. He will bring all things to your remembrance. Right? And then he will do what? He will testify of me. And now he will do what? He will guide you to all truth. Number four. And what? He will show you things to come. There are some specific things that Christ said the Holy Ghost will do here. So pay attention. Because some people, when they want to receive the Holy Ghost, they are looking for something else. Praise the Lord. And then that's why all these things are missing in the church. You know? So, but we'll get to that. So, there you have it. There are many more scriptures, but let me leave it at that. Now, let's fast forward to the last chapter of Luke, which I believe is Luke 24. In the book of Luke 24, let me see if I have the verse here. I'll just look at it in my Bible. Luke 24, the very last chapter. Here's what Jesus said unto them. Now, you will notice, you know, the background to this chapter, Jesus had resurrected two disciples who were going on the way to the place called Emmaus. And they were talking about the things that happened in Jerusalem. And Jesus appeared unto them. They didn't know who he was. And began to tell them a number of things and so on and so forth. And then later on, he revealed himself to them. And then later on, he visited his disciples and so forth. And here's what he said unto them. Now, he told them that all the things that happened to Christ happened because they were written according to the scriptures. Let's look at verse 46 of Luke chapter 24. Verse 46. I'm going to read about three verses. Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and also to rise from the dead the third day. Amen? Amen. Jesus is no longer in the grave, folks. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are my witnesses of these things, because you've been with me all these 3 years or whatever. And behold, this is when he was leaving. Behold, I send what? Come on, folks. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. I will send the promise of the Father. But do what? Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be what? Endued with power. Now, this is Luke's own version of what he's reporting that Jesus said the Holy Ghost will do. John has reported all his own stuff. Now, Luke is now adding one more thing. We're adding to the list of what we have read so far. Now, what? The endowment with power. In other words, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will receive all those things we have said before, plus now the endowment with power from on high. Hallelujah. And you can see that evidence in Christ himself. Amen. What does it say in the book of Luke chapter 10? I mean, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. What does it say? Acts 10:38, real quick, please. Acts 10, not Luke 10. Acts 10:38. Hello, who's back there? Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, not Luke. Okay. how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now, this is what God did for Jesus. And we know that Jesus, you know, was the first born among many brethren. Amen. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Power. That's what Luke said. Endowment of power. And Jesus, he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil and so forth, because God was with him. So if you have the same endowment of power, you should be able to do these same things. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, let's flip forward to the book of Acts chapter 1. When Jesus was about to be taken away, in Acts chapter 1, we read the story of when he was about to be taken away, literally into heaven, before the apostles. And verse 8 is where I'm going, but before we get there, you know, let's look at a few things. They asked the Lord some questions here. I'm going to start at verse 3. He showed himself to them and so forth like that. And then when he talked to them about the things of the kingdom of God, and being assembled, verse 4, together with them, he commanded them. Now, from verse 4, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Now, Luke reported the same thing. This is also Luke writing in the book of Acts here. Luke wrote Luke, and he also wrote Acts. You know, he said, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with what? The Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Amen. Amen, folks.
Amen.
Not many days hence. So he told them to wait. It was prophetic. There was something to happen, you know, that had to line up with God's calendar on the day of Pentecost. God fixed it that way. But so they waited, and they were gathered together, and they began to wait. And as you read later on, you find out there's about 120 of them waiting and so forth, because they followed the instruction, you know. And then they asked him, well, Lord, seeing that the Holy Ghost is going to come, the promise of the Father, well, actually, they forgot it was the Holy Ghost. You know, they just said the promise. When you say the promise of the Father, I say, oh, yeah, the promise of the Father. Oh, maybe, you know, God will now deliver us from all our enemies. Maybe God will now, you know, bring everything back to Israel. Because they're always thinking something else. God says one thing, the mind is thinking something else. You know, so these disciples are thinking, will thou at this time restore the kingdom again to Israel? Is that what this promise is all about? And Jesus said, never mind about that. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? It's not for you to worry about the times that God has reserved in his own hand. But there is something that you should take note of. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give me verses 7 and 8 of this same Acts chapter 1. Verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8. But what will happen? But ye shall receive what?
Power.
Ye shall receive, everybody say,
power.
After, not before, but after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Power. And what will you do with that power? And you shall brag that you are the cream of the crop. And you shall boast that you have this power. What should you do with this power? And ye shall be my witnesses. This is the reason and the purpose for the power, folks.
Amen.
To be my witnesses, starting from where you live in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is like Phoenix, right?
Yeah.
Judea is like Arizona or whatever, you know. So starting from Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all uttermost part of the earth. Hallelujah. Power to become witnesses. Well, I'm going to tell you a short story right now at this point. There was a guy whose name was called Simon Peter. Simon Peter, he bragged that if everybody would deny you, I will never deny you. Am I, if you remember that story? And Jesus said, really? He said, no, me? I will even die with you. He said, fine. Today, before the cock will crow two times, you will deny me three times. Peter said, no, I will never do it. Okay, fine. Well, he did it. He did deny the Lord. And one of the people that he denied the Lord, you know, to, was a maid. A maid, folks. A housemaid that saw Peter and said, you are one of them. I said, Peter, no. And in fact, one place he began to curse and to swear and everything. You know, can you imagine? You know, a maid. What is the maid going to do to him? He didn't have the power to be a witness. Now, this same Peter, on the day of Pentecost, hallelujah. Amen. There's a big difference, folks. When that Holy Ghost came, that promise, he stood up and indicted the whole of Israel. Indicted everybody. And he preached one of the most wonderful sermons in that gospel. I mean, in that Bible. He preached it from everywhere. And he brought it right down and said, this same Jesus whom you have crucified. Hallelujah. In Acts 2 and 36. God has made him both Lord and Christ. And he indicted and said, you crucified the Christ. And we are standing here today to talk of his resurrection. He was no longer afraid. 3,000 souls, folks. He could not even convert one maid. Because he didn't have the Holy Ghost. But when he got that Holy Ghost, 3,000 souls in one day. Just one message. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you'll find that in the book of Acts chapter 2. And now I'm going to sing to entertain you. I'm not a singer, but I like to sing. Listen to this. When the day of Pentecost was come, they were in the upper room with one accord. They gathered together 120 to receive the power that was promised to come. The Holy Ghost fell upon each one as the Spirit gave to each. They spoke with tongues. Jews that came in from everywhere, they couldn't understand what was happening up there. But Peter stood in the midst of the crowd. He spoke out with his voice and he said it aloud. He said, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days my Spirit will pour, not only on me, but also to you. Every child of God that wants can get it too. I've got it. You got it?
Yes.
Say, every child of God that wants can get it too. On that day of Pentecost, 120, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. For you Catholics that read thing, whatever, Mary, she was there to receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You better get that Holy Ghost, folks. You know. So, she was there. Mary was among them. 120 to receive the power that was promised to come. When the Holy Ghost fell upon each one, the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm going to get into that in a minute. And they began to speak with tongues. Jews that came from everywhere, they couldn't understand what was happening up there. Or when Peter stood up in the midst of the crowd, he raised up his voice and he said it aloud. This is that spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days my Spirit will pour, not only on me, but also on you. Every child of God that wants can get it too. Hallelujah. If you want it, you can get it. Hallelujah. Now, let me talk now about the tarrying for the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them, Luke reported it. We've read it in Luke, and we've read it in the book of Acts, how Jesus told them to tarry for the Holy Spirit. And we know they tarried until the day of Pentecost because it was providential. There was a particular day, I can't get into all those seasons of God and the timings of God, that he wanted the Holy Ghost to come, and it was on the day of Pentecost. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Acts chapter 2, can you put it up, please? Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what happened? They were all in with one accord in one place. Verse 2. And suddenly, I like that word, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Isn't that wonderful, folks? Wouldn't you love it if you get an experience like that today?
Amen.
A rushing Mighty, they didn't see the wind, but they heard it. And they heard. And the next thing that happened, they saw the most incredible thing that has ever happened. You know, and what happened? And verse 3, give it to me please, verse 3. And there appeared means they saw it. Hello?
Amen.
There appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. And it sat on each of them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Appeared means they saw. And they began to do what? Verse 4. And they began, say they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, notice, I almost misquoted that verse 4. First, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they did what? Began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. First, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you notice that in this verse, the speaking with other tongues was not the beginning of the experience. Hello? Now, let's recount it. First, there was a rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. Then there was the appearance of the cloven tongues. It sat upon each of them. And then there was they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they began to, so it's almost like it was even at the tail end. The speaking with tongues, it's like Jesus said in the book of John chapter 7, verses 7, 37 and 38. Can you put that up, please? We'll come back to Acts chapter 2. But let's break aside for a minute. John, I see that you are no longer opening your Bible. John chapter 7, you're all looking at me now. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 38. What did he say? In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Hallelujah. If any man thirst, now you got to be thirsty. You got to want it, folks. You got to want it. You don't want it, you're not going to get it. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And if you drink, Bible says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Verse 38, next verse. What happens when you drink? He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, hallelujah, shall flow rivers of living water. The scripture already said it. It said, well, look at the next verse. Verse 39. Now, many times when Jesus was telling them things, these disciples had no clue. What he was saying, he said, well, they should have understood. If you were there, you wouldn't understand anything either. It was after he was resurrected and the Holy Ghost came that he began to bring to their remembrance, just like Jesus said. Then they began to quote those things as if they knew them. When Jesus was there, they didn't understand anything. They didn't understand this. But this he spake, you notice that this is in parentheses. It was the commentary of the person writing it that he put it there. They didn't understand it at that time. This he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. They hadn't received yet. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given at that time, because that Jesus was not yet glorify. So we see that, Jesus himself tell them, if I do not, we read those chapters, but I just didn't read those verses in chapter 14 and 15 of John, where it said, if I don't go away, the Holy Ghost cannot come. But when Jesus was glorified, then the Holy Spirit came. We'll get into that later on. Now, the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, when Jesus was glorified, he poured forth the Holy Ghost. And on the day of Pentecost, let me tell you another phenomenon that happened on the day of Pentecost. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. After they were filled with the Holy Ghost, from verse 4, the Bible said they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now let's look at verse 5. Interesting story here. In verse 5. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews that came from everywhere. Jews that came in from everywhere. They couldn't understand what was happening up there. See, the Jews that came from everywhere. They couldn't understand. They said, these people are drunk. They're drunk with wine. Because all of them are speaking, what's going on? They thought they were drunk with wine. And Peter stood up and said, these men are not drunk with wine, as you suppose. Seeing that it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. We don't drink at 9 o'clock. Nobody does that. See, they are not drunk with men, but they are filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the promise of Joel. So he goes back to Joel, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost begins to bring scriptures into his mind. This is somebody who could not preach to a maid. He didn't even know what to say. Now, all of a sudden, Holy Ghost begin to bring scripture, and he begin to flow. And he just began to flow. Hallelujah. He begins to tell them, you know, and you can read all of it. I don't have time to read everything to you. Read all the story, read the wonderful preaching that he did. And at the end of the preaching, he indicted everybody. And then they say, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he said, well, in Acts 2:38, this is what you are going to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall do what? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the what? Verse 39. Acts 2:39. Please give me that scripture. Acts 2:39. I know I'm going very fast. Acts 2:39. For this promise is what? Not only to me, but also to you. Every child of God that wants can get it too. Now, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. Holy Ghost begin to reach out even to the Gentiles. And Peter prophesied it, but he didn't know it. I'll prove to you that Peter didn't know what he was saying here. You know, he will say, so those that are far off, that's the Gentiles. Those that are far off, you know, and so forth like that, you know. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, so many things happened. Many of them, thousands were saved. You know, that was the first time. Folks, that was the birth of the New Testament church. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for that. Hallelujah. Now, can somebody work miracles without receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit? Yes. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, as we know it today. Can they cast out devils? Yes. I can prove it to you in the scriptures. In the book of Luke chapter 10, and even in Matthew, Jesus sent the disciples out two by two to every city that he himself should go. Right? And they went. They had not received the Holy Ghost. And they came back and said, Lord, the devils are subject to us. The devils. I mean, they were so excited because they were casting out devils. They were doing everything. Because see, if you listen and obey, you can do what Jesus sent you to do. Jesus sent them out and he said, freely you have received, freely give. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Cleanse the lepers. Do all these things. And they went out and did it. They had not received the Holy Ghost, folks. And then they came back. They told Jesus, he said, well, I want you to be excited about something that's even more important. Hallelujah. Does anybody know what that was that you should be excited about? That your names are what? That your names are written in heaven. That's what you should be more excited about. But they did do all those miracles even before they received the Holy Ghost. You know. So, but how much more when they receive the Holy Ghost? Now, I'm going to wrap this up in a few minutes. This is like an introduction. But I want to jump ahead for just a minute and show you that when Peter was prophesying this thing and saying even to many that were far off, he didn't even know that the Gentiles would be included. Which many of us that are sitting here today are Gentiles. I don't know if there's any Jewish person, but you know, we are mostly Gentiles. Now, you find this story, wonderful story, in the book of Acts chapter 10. It talks about the story of Cornelius. Now, this Cornelius was a good man. You know, he gave alms and he did all these things and so forth, but he was a Gentile. And one day, all his alms came before God, and God remembered him, and God was going to do something. And God chose his house to use as a springboard to show that Gentiles will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost as well. So he saw an angel that appeared to him. This Cornelius man, read the story in Acts chapter 10. He didn't know what was going on. And the angel appeared to him and said, look, I want you to send to the city of Joppa and call for a man whose name is Simon, surnamed Peter. When he comes, he will show you the words of life whereby you and your household shall be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It is important to notice that there are some things that God will not do. We must do. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Why didn't the angel already preach to the man? Why go and call Peter? Just preach to the man already. You're already there showing him a vision. Why send him to go and call Peter? Because God has a plan.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God has his own plan. And we must be a part of that plan.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's going to lead me into something very important later on. And at the same time, God was visiting Peter. Peter was over here. He was hungry. He told somebody, hey, I need to get some food. So they went to prepare the food. In the meantime, hunger began to pepper him, as we used to say. And then he's there thinking. And then he fell into a trance. You know, because he's hungry, he's thinking about food. Folks, that's how he fell into that trance. And in his trance, he saw food. Because he was hungry, waiting for food. So in his trance, he saw food coming down. So he saw this tray coming down from heaven and had on it all kinds of four-footed beasts and so on, creeping things and all that kind of thing. And the same voice told him, rise up, Peter, slay any of these that you see there and eat. And Peter said, not on your life, Lord. Not so, Lord. I have never, no uncommon thing has ever come into my mouth. Common or unclean. And the same voice told him, don't you ever, what God has called clean, don't you call it uncommon. Hallelujah. And the thing happened to him about three times. And he didn't understand it. So finally they brought him some food and so. You know, he thought it was because he was hungry. That he didn't understand the thing. And as later on, just a few minutes later, somebody knocked on his door. We're looking for Peter. I say, yes. Who is it? Blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, the angel had told him, look, somebody's going to come. Follow them, doubting nothing. Amen.
Amen.
Doubt nothing. Just follow them. So he followed. Say, okay, Holy Ghost said follow. So he followed. Meanwhile, Cornelius gathered everybody that he knew, and they are waiting. And they said, when Peter came, he said, Cornelius, oh, thank you for coming, and so forth like that. Say, hey, what's up? Say, what? You know, Peter said, all right. So Peter said, oh, wow, the Lord already told me this, and they told the man. So he began to preach to them. He expounded unto them everything about Christ, and he brought it from everywhere. And while Peter was speaking, folks, while Peter was speaking, the Holy Ghost. These people received the word of God into their hearts, and the Holy Ghost fell upon them. This is the closest experience that we see in the Bible, that Holy Ghost and receiving the word of God happened just, you know, like that, close together. But first, they received the word of God. First, Peter had to preach unto them Jesus Christ. Amen. And when he preached the Jesus Christ, then the Holy Ghost fell upon them. Now, let me read to you one quick verse here. Quickly, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I want to find the exact verse that I'm looking for here. So as he's preaching to them, the Holy Ghost fell down on them. You know, and then Peter, he opened his mouth in verse 34 and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, anyone that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, and he began to speak to them and so forth. And when he did, the Holy Ghost came. He told them that, you know, the Lord, he gave witness and he gave all of these things to them. I wanted to point out the fact that God is not a respecter of persons. Now, and then, but how did the apostles know that these people, I mean, how did Peter and whoever went with him, his company went with him, how did they know that these people received the Holy Ghost? They said because they heard them speak with tongues and prophesy and speak the mighty, you know, mighty works of God. They heard them speak in tongues. That's how they knew. Now, why was that sufficient for them? It was sufficient for them because they themselves, remember when Christ said, the promise of the Father is coming, wait. None of them knew that at that point in time they were going to speak in tongues. Jesus had told them in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17 that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall do what? They shall do what? They shall cast out devils. You know, they shall do what? Cast out devils. They shall even heal the sick. They lay hands on the sick, she shall recover. But they also told them that they shall speak with new tongues. That's for every believer. You know, already said that. But they didn't know. I mean, we don't have evidence that they were expecting to speak in tongues on that day. We don't have evidence that they were expecting to see the cloving tongues of fire. But we are not told that Jesus told them that. Just told them, wait until you be endued with power from on high. But when it happened, they received that. And they realized that they spoke with tongues. And these are all these things. So when they were preaching to Cornelius, and Cornelius began to speak with tongues as well, and his house and so forth, they said, wow, they must have received the Holy Ghost just like we did. Because they are experiencing the same thing that we experienced. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So next time we're going to pick it up. You know, I want to whet your appetite there. We're going to pick it up and so forth. You know, and lastly, before we close, let me tell you something unique. I'm going back to Acts chapter 2. The reason I brought the Acts 10 story was to show you that, you know, I'm going to come later on to show you that, you know, every time people get saved, then they get the Holy Ghost. It's two distinct experiences. Sometimes it happens the same day. It may happen in the same prayer meeting or whatever. But it's two experiences, you know. But in Acts chapter 2, we go back to that story. When all these people came and said these people are drunk, and Peter explained all of that to them, you know, they said, before that, they said, when they came, what the people said, these people were Jews, but they were Jews out of every nation. They were different kinds of Jews, you know, Polish Jews, German Jews, I don't know if all those countries were there, but whatever kind of Jews. That's right. Whatever Jews. But when they came there, the Bible says, are not all these people that are speaking Galileans? Yes, but how come we are hearing, notice folks, how come we are hearing every man in our own tongue? We are Scythians, we are this, we are that, but we are hearing. I mean, these were not the people that received the Holy Ghost. These were the people that came to mock them, that you are, guys are filled with wine. But when they stood there to mock, they were actually hearing what the people who were there were speaking. The people who were there were speaking, you know, let's just put it like this. Let's say we are all of one tribe. We are all, I know in America here we speak one language, so it's kind of hard to use America to explain it. But, you know, the people that were speaking only had one dialect of this Jewish thing. And there were so many dialects which they didn't understand, you know, and there were so many other things. And people were speaking things that were not their own dialects. They are not language in the Indian land. The Holy Ghost gave them utterance. And some people that were there were understanding what they were saying. Are you still with me, folks?
Yes, sir.
It wasn't just gibberish.
Yes, sir.
They were understanding what they were saying. It was a unique experience that God brought. And many of those people were converted. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you something that happens about Holy Ghost visitation. Usually, people are converted.
Amen.
And especially those who didn't think that anything about it at all. Maybe somebody else are receiving the Holy Ghost. The impact of it begins to convert people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let me give you a personal testimony and then we'll close this session. When I started to prepare for this weeks ago, I was thinking about many things. I didn't want to use my personal experience and so on. I wanted God to give me fresh understanding. But you cannot but go back to your personal experience. It's not possible. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's just not possible. Because experience, God gave the experience for a reason. So I'm going to tell you a story. When I was about 20 years old, I was in a place called Federal School of Science in Lagos. It's kind of like a community college. Halfway between, you know, the high school and the university. There was a visitation of God in that area or that era. And the things that I was privileged to experience, I have not experienced today. And God brought some of those things back to my memory, and I'll be sharing some of them. The one I want to share is this. There were many times, folks, I don't know if it was every day, but there were many times when we were in the fellowship, and we used to have the fellowship in a classroom that had glass windows. And when we would be having the fellowship, there were times that the Holy Ghost would just descend. Many people saw the Holy Ghost cloven tongues. And on the days when that happened, students would line up outside the window. It wasn't every service. It didn't happen every service, but in every single service, and God is my witness, in every single service, when it happened, students will line up by the window. And when they line up by the window, they will be looking, and none of them actually saw the glowing tongues. Only the people inside. You know, and then they would say, what are these people doing? You know, and I was there. And one by one, folks, this is the truth if I ever said it. One by one, nobody preached to them. We're just minding our business, carrying on and doing our own thing. We're just kids, you know. One by one, those people will come inside, fall upon their face, begin to cry, and begin to ask God for mercy. One by one. Many of them were delivered of demon spirits the same day. Some of them received Holy Ghost, begin to speak in tongues, begin to prophesy.
Yes.
Right there on the same. They said, and they came there to mock.
Yes,
they came to mock. They didn't even know, you know, every all the time. And it happened time after time after time. One day, one service was going on. I left to go to the bathroom, just down the corridor. And then there were two other guys there. And then they had started singing these choruses. And one of them said, these SU people have started again. You know, we had this thing called Scripture Union.
Yeah.
They didn't believe anything. I was president of Scripture Union. They did not believe in the Holy Ghost. I can tell you that. Because I know what my high suffered in my session. Because we believe the Holy Ghost. And we tried to bring it. And the Scripture Union came down on us like crazy. The secretary and traveling secretary and everything. That's a bad story. So, we had two groups there. Scripture Union that didn't believe anything. And this group that I was in, you know. And then, you know, when I was president, it wasn't in that school. It was in the previous school. So don't get confused. So I went to the bathroom. And then two guys were there. And then, so this guy said to his fella, these SU guys have started again. The other fella said, these ones are not SU. These ones are on fire. Hallelujah! I didn't say anything. I just went to the bathroom. And the guy said, these ones are not SUO. These ones are on fire. Hallelujah. So I went away that day. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. These ones are on fire. Praise the Lord. And I tell you, I have so many other stories to tell you some other time. Some other time. But not today. Hallelujah. On account of time. But I want everybody that can to come on Friday night at 7 p.m. And then on Sunday again, we're going to continue by the grace of God. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you some things. Now, we haven't even gotten into anything at all. This was just some introduction to whet your appetite on what is coming. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, I also want to encourage us when we reconvene this Faith Lab services, we want you to come. Because we are going to show the demonstration of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And let me just leave you with this scripture. Study the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And read chapter 14 too. We'll come to all of it. But here's what I want you to think of when you go home. There are three words that I will define in the next service that will help us. We're going to talk about the, maybe phrases, administrations of the gifts, the operations of the gifts, and the manifestations of the gifts. And we'll talk about the differences. Praise the Lord. All right, that's all we can going to say about that right now. We want to invite everybody to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is looking for vessels. Amen.
Amen.
Looking for vessels. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to invite the praise team to come back up. We're going to take our offering. While they are coming, give me one last scripture if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 20.
From Sledon and traveling.
In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, But there are also some of wood and earth, and some of unto honor and some unto dishonor. Next verse says, but if anyone, verse 21, please. 2:20, but if any man purge himself, he shall be a vessel of what? Unto honor. And he will be sanctified, and it will be meet for the master's use, and it will be prepared unto every good work. There is something good that God is going to do for you. Hallelujah. And as the praise team begins to sing, I want you to prepare your offering. And somebody slipped an announcement into my hands. Here's something that the Holy Spirit put into the heart of a sister, and she wrote, I put a lot of gifts into the hands of many of us, but we have not started using. And he said, you know, start using them now. And that's a confirmation, because God, this is what God is trying for us to understand. Now, on Friday, by the grace of God, we are going to have a faith lab here at 7 p.m. And I will be going deeper into this series, so you can be here. If you are not doing anything, make every effort to be here, because you're going to hear something that will change your lives. And then we'll come back on Sunday and pick it up. And but let me say this real quick. I forgot to say this. There was a waiting period that God commanded for the disciples. But there's no evidence after the first time that anybody ever waited again, because the Holy Ghost is already given. Hallelujah. He did not ask us to tarry anymore. Right now, you can come as you are. And if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, you receive the word of conversion, it is time then to receive the Holy Ghost. Remember that God gave Jesus Christ as a gift to the world. But Jesus Christ gives the Holy Ghost as a gift to the believer. And the Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. And I'll be talking more about this on Friday. That if you being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the offerings that have been brought into the house of the Lord this morning. Receive it, Lord, and let it be used to the glory of God. Now, every time you give your offering, I want you to listen to the Lord. Don't do it as, you know, as a constraint, but do it as something of joy. Now, that's the Lord speaking to somebody here this morning. Do it as something of joy for the Lord, rather than as a constraint. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. And when you give, the Bible says it's not what you think that you are going to give, but what you give right now. For a man is accepted in that what he has, and not what he have, or what he doesn't have, or what he's going to have. What you have right now is good enough. Whatever it is. It could be a penny, it could be whatever. It's fine with the Lord. Amen. Lord, bless everyone that has given this morning, and fulfill even their desires and meet their needs. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.